Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. A statewide campaign to recall Governor Mike Dunleavy launches tomorrow. Organizers will begin gathering signatures in a multi-step process that will have to clear numerous hurdles over the next several months to appear on a ballot. Under Alaska law, there are four specific criteria for a recall.
We're going to be going with neglect of duties, incompetence, and lack of fitness.
Mita DeWitt chairs the organization behind the recall effort and says volunteers looked at a number of different actions by the Dunleavy administration over the last several months that could meet the legal requirements for a recall petition. Those include keeping a judgeship in Palmer open beyond a 45-day limit, using state funds for partisan advertisements online, accounting errors and budget vetoes, and striking money from the state court system over a ruling on abortion access. The Recall Dunleavy campaign is holding events around the state Thursday to begin gathering signatures. According to organizers, they need more than 29,000 Alaskans to support the effort in order to advance it to the director of the Division of Elections for review. After that, the petition would need signatures from a quarter of the electorate that turned out in last year's election. In this case, more than 71,000 people. The last time there was a similar campaign against a sitting governor was 1992, and according to the Division of Elections, the effort was not deemed legally sufficient to prompt a recalled election. DeWitt, though, says the group is optimistic.
We are the state that learned how to spell Murkowski to avoid a similar train wreck.
That's a reference to Senator Lisa Murkowski's 2010 write-in campaign over Joe Miller, who beat her in the Republican primary, only to lose in the general election. DeWitt says the campaign hopes to submit the first round of petition signatures no later than December. A spokesperson for Dunleavy did not immediately return a request for comment on Tuesday afternoon. Governor Mike Dunleavy announced today that he has a new chief of staff. Tuckerman Babcock stepped down to become a senior policy advisor, and former Senate President Ben Stevens will be the new chief of staff. Babcock said in a statement that he asked for the move. He previously served as chairman of Dunleavy's transition team and before that of the Alaska Republican Party. Babcock has been a lightning rod for administration critics. Three former state workers named him along with Dunleavy in lawsuits alleging they were unconstitutionally fired. Stevens has served as a policy advisor to Dunleavy, focusing on transportation, legislation, and fishing. Stevens was once investigated for corruption by federal authorities. The FBI raided Stevens' office in 2006, along with those of at least five other lawmakers. Attention on Stevens focused on consulting work he said he did for oil field services company Vico while he was in the Senate. The payments totaled more than $240,000 over 5 years. At a different lawmaker's trial in 2007, a Vico executive said on the witness stand that he had bribed Stevens and another senator. Prosecutors never charged Stevens with a crime, and he always denied wrongdoing. The Alaska legislature has restored funding for the Ocean Rangers, but the future of the cruise ship inspection program is uncertain. The Rangers were approved by voters in 2006, and advocates say they've been instrumental in protecting Alaska from pollution. But as Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, the Dunleavy administration has other plans.
Alaska's regulatory oversight of cruise ships is in transition. The head of the state's cruise ship program gave notice in recent weeks that he'd be leaving the Department of Environmental Conservation on August 1st. Ed White had been the chief official charged with monitoring cruise ship compliance with wastewater permits and air emission guidelines for the past 5 years. He declined to be interviewed. Now, in light of White's departure, DEC Commissioner Jason Bruni says he's considering restructuring the agency's cruise ship program.
I am sad to see Ed go. He's been a great asset to our team. I think that we're looking at potentially integrating the functions of water into the water division and the air emission checking into the air department. But that's just one scenario. That's still up in the air. That's fresh news with Ed's departure. So we're going to be evaluating different scenarios.
White had also overseen the Ocean Rangers that independently monitor compliance of state and federal environmental laws. They're licensed marine engineers paid with passenger fee revenue, but their future is uncertain. Earlier this year, Commissioner Bruni had urged the legislature to repeal the Ocean Rangers program. That didn't happen. But Governor Mike Dunleavy's veto blocked the program's funding. Lawmakers have since reauthorized the $3.4 million in funding, but that's still subject to the governor's red pen. A fresh veto could come anytime in the next month. Still, Bruni says his agency won't be renewing the Ocean Rangers contract for next season. He says he plans to return to the legislature next year to push for a change in the law that would monitor cruise ships without using onboard inspectors.
We're committed to working with the legislature to create a new and improved program that works for everyone, that that will ultimately use those funds from the what's collected for next year's season. But we will not be renewing and going out for a bid for that contract after this season.
How that would be accomplished in time for the 2020 cruise season isn't clear. The Ocean Rangers program, approved by voters in 2006, remains on the books and has its supporters. Gershon Cohen helped write the ballot initiative that created the program.
I think a big reason for the fact that the industry hasn't been dumping in Alaska the way they have been already caught dumping in other places is because the Ranger program has been in place. It's like having a cop on the beat. So I personally still support having the Rangers there, and it would be great if the administration would allow this program that pays for itself to be there to continue to protect Alaska's waters and fisheries.
The Ocean Rangers produce daily cruise ship reports that are also shared with the National Park Service, which manages Glacier Bay National Park. It's a popular cruise ship destination and environmentally sensitive area.
I've only heard positive things about the Ocean Ranger program.
That's Park Superintendent Philip Hoogie. He says he's told cruise industry representatives that the Ocean Rangers program has been indispensable, and he's uncomfortable seeing it go away.
We might be forced into a situation of having to replicate elements of the Ocean Ranger program for Glacier Bay.
A Holland American Lines cruise ship was cited last fall for discharging more than 22,000 gallons of untreated gray water in Glacier Bay. It was fined $250 by the Park Service. State charges have been referred to Alaska's Attorney General. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
The University of Alaska Board of Regents voted 8-3 to move towards consolidating the entire university system to a single accredited university. As Alaska Public Media's Wesley earlier reports, the board discussed several proposals for the university system well into the afternoon in Anchorage on Tuesday.
Governor Mike Dunleavy's budget cuts to the University of Alaska total about $136 million, or roughly 40% of state support. The plan Regents adopted is to reorganize the University of Alaska from three separate individually accredited universities to a single accredited university. UA President Jim Johnson endorsed the proposal. He says the new model would streamline curriculums and student services, as well as create a single college for each major field of study throughout the university system. Johnson says the plan saves money by eliminating a lot of administrative costs.
I think the essential functions, especially those that are academic and student-facing, yes, they need to stay out there in close proximity to students. But backroom functions, we don't need three or four different approaches, processes, systems to do lots of things that really don't add to the student experience.
A second proposal would have established a more cooperative consortium model for the university system while retaining the three universities. The three universities would make reductions to staff and faculty, administrative services, athletics, travel, and other budgetary items in order to meet those individual cuts. The proposal was put together and endorsed by the three chancellors of the universities. Their argument was, while each university would take large cuts, they would continue to maintain their ties to each individual community. UAS Chancellor Rick Caulfield says there would be a renewed focus on collaboration between the three campuses.
The integrated consortium model would build on retaining three separately accredited universities and a commitment from the chancellors and all of those involved with the leadership at those universities for dramatically enhancing the collaboration of academic programs and student services, shared business services.
The Regents and President Johnson expressed skepticism that an increase in collaboration would be as smooth as the chancellors proposed. Johnson says the board has called for increased collaboration in the past, with little success. A third proposal Regents didn't vote on came from the Dunleavy administration's Office of Management and Budget. The proposal would take place over 2 years and make targeted cuts to all three universities, including cuts to research, athletics, and the university-run Museum of the North.
That was Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early reporting. An attempted robber at a coffee shop in the Menhall Valley got more than he bargained for this morning when the barista turned out to be armed. According to police, 38-year-old Charles Claspy walked up to the Grind Coffee Shop near Glacier Highway around 4:18 a.m. and told the female barista he was going to rob her. Went back to his car and got a wrench. As he approached the coffee shop again, the barista fired a single shot into the air from a pistol. Police say Claspy returned to his car and began ramming the building. When the barista got into a customer's car and fled with them, Clasby followed them onto Egan Drive. Police stopped him for traffic violations and took him into custody. He was charged with robbery, assault, criminal mischief, and violating conditions of release, and is being held at Lemon Creek Correctional Center on no bail. The Grind was still open for business later today. Owner Crystal Liskey says they estimate about $3,000 in damage to the coffee shop. She said the entire building shifted. There are cracks on the inside wall from where Clasby rammed his car into the outside wall. She says even though her employee wasn't injured in the incident, the experience was very traumatic, and she'll be taking some time off. Liskey also says she knew Clasby before the incident, but her employee did not. On Facebook, commenters quickly identified Clasby as the man who appeared in a video yesterday afternoon keying a car in the Safeway parking lot. That incident is still being investigated. Juneau Police Department does not identify suspects by name unless they've been charged, but Deputy Chief David Campbell did confirm the suspect in the incident is a 38-year-old male Juneau resident. And finally, here's a story out of Washington State. People who identify as other than female or male may soon have a third option when getting a Washington driver's license. King TV reports Governor Jay Inslee's office announced yesterday a push for inclusion by offering the options of female, male, and X. The change would also affect instruction permits and state ID cards. The Department of Licensing has scheduled hearings in August in Seattle, Spokane, and Olympia for public comment. The agency will then use the information from hearings, emails, and phone calls to decide whether to make any changes to the proposed language. The Department of Licensing could offer the gender X option as soon as October. And that is the KTUO News Update for Wednesday, July 31st, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.